my greatest satisfactions of the job is it's nice when you sell a nice system, you get it installed and get it operational. For me, it's the student involvement. It's having the students and the teachers that are teaching the classes well, using the system to its fullest potential.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Scott Luce, Regional Sales Rep in Texas, and Mike Howell, Regional Sales Rep in North Texas, to talk about audio projects they've recently installed and their experience working with customers in the region. And we're here today with Scott and Mike. Scott, how are you doing?
Doing fine. How about you guys?
We're doing good. I'm doing good. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Justin. Thank you.
And Mike, you're on the phone. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Good to hear from you guys.
Yeah. And you guys are here to talk about some audio projects. But first, let's start with Scott and talk about your role with Daktronics and how you got there.
Okay. I think I'm into my 14th year, believe it or not, with Daktronics. I was not originally a salesperson, although I guess when you're in the education business, that is somewhat of a sales job. But I come from an education background, about 25 years in the business, teacher, coach, administrator, athletic administrator, that type of background. So it's been a really good transition from that into the Daktronics.
Nice. All right. And Mike, maybe give our listeners a kind of a update, or not update, but who you are and your history with Daktronics as well.
Yeah, I've had a pretty lengthy history with Daktronics. I first started working with Daktronics back in 1984. I was a reseller for Daktronics. And then in 1996, my company was acquired by Daktronics. So I have been working, for Daktronics for almost 25 years now. Next year will be my 25th anniversary. So pretty long history with Daktronics. Seen a lot of technology come and go.
Nice. And maybe we were talking this a little bit before the episode here today, but I don't know, Mike, if you want to tell us, how do you and Scott then know each other?
I was in sales, like I said, in 96. I came on board and Daktronics asked me to, from my reseller position before, they asked me if I wanted to start working in the high school parks and recreation market. And I had never done that before. And I said, sure, why not? You know, let me give it a try. And so, again, that was in 1996. And I think I first met Scott in 1998. He was the assistant athletic director at Mesquite. We sold them some track timing equipment. And then in a couple of years later, actually sold the first two ProStar video screens to a high school at the same time. It was about a $1.7 million order. We did Memorial Stadium, which was about a 19,000 seat stadium. And then we did Hanby Stadium, which was a renovation stadium with about 12,000 seats. So that's where Scott and I first met and started working together, because Scott was making sure everything was getting installed and taken care of at that time.
And you guys are both in the Texas area, and we have some kind of recent installations there from Daktronics' point of view. Can you tell us a little bit about those projects?
Yeah, we've got quite a few installations here in North Texas, especially in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and surrounding area here, too. Some of the most recent ones were, we just did a nice stadium with Prosper ISD, about a 12,000-seat stadium, where we did video and audio and LED fascia displays on the stadium as well, too. So, a nice project. But then we've got a couple of other ones that have worked with before. And Allen ISD is an 18,000-seat stadium. McKinney ISD, another 12,000-seat stadium that we're very proud to have all those stadiums working with Daktronics.
Yeah, those are some bigger stadiums. I guess everything's kind of bigger in Texas there. Did you guys work on a lot of the LED side of it, or the audio side, or did you work together on that?
Scott again, but yeah, we've worked together on several projects, but we do combine the video scoring and the audio in a lot of these projects, a turnkey solution for these customers, you bet.
And how does all the projects that I've mentioned before, each one of those projects actually does have Daktronics audio in those bigger stadiums. And we go all the way down to the smaller stadiums too, with like the 3,000 seat or 2,500 seat stadiums. We, We have audio solutions for everything from those small stadiums all the way up to the 20,000 seat stadium as well.
And when you, when you're talking with customers about these projects, how does it start up? Is it, do they come and kind of know what they're looking for from, you know, either LED scoring displays or audio, or do you guys kind of help guide them towards kind of what they need?
I can start by just saying that we do a lot of discovery, ask a lot of questions. Sometimes the customer, depending on the district and the customer and their history in those positions, depending on if you're talking to a facility director, an athletic director, coaches, purchasing directors, they all have a different perspective or take on equipment. Some have some knowledge, some have a limited knowledge, some have no knowledge, some have a lot of knowledge. And we ask a lot of questions. We ask that they bring more folks into the discussion so we can get different ideas from their side. But we do, we ask a lot of questions. We look at their venue. If it's a new construction, you know, you want to look at drawings and what do they anticipate? You know, what are their expectations? You know, what are they looking for in a system? You know, what are they wanting to get out of it? So there's a lot of discussion on the front end on our side as well.
And we've been talking stadiums. Is that a big difference for an outdoor stadium versus an indoor arena?
A lot of this, a lot of the discovery is the same for the indoor as well as the outdoor. Again, you have to look at the facility, see what they're trying to do, and you know, then educate the customer. On the outdoor stadiums, most stadiums here in Texas have a really a speech only type system, and what that means is they'll, in the stadium, they'll throw up a couple of bi-amp or community speakers on top of the scoreboard and kind of aim them in this direction and that direction, and then that's their sound system. You know, the Daktronix audio solutions, it's a full range sound system from the highest high to that lowest low thump that you feel in your body when you're inside a stadium. That's what we're providing to most of these stadiums. So, and that's whether it's outdoor or indoor, you want that full range instead of just a speech only type system out there. So, again, as Scott was saying, there's a lot of discovery to make sure that the customers know exactly what they want. And then that we deliver exactly what they want, because again, they're used to hearing a speech only system where we're actually offering a full range audio system.
Yeah. And then just thinking about, we've talked to people in the past before, you know, about sometimes with LED displays, you don't quite understand what you're talking about until you see it in person. Do you run into that a lot when it comes to audio, kind of, you're talking about the differences, you know, you said speech, full service type thing. Do you do a lot of audio demos, or kind of how do you help get those points across?
Yeah, absolutely. We're lucky here that we do have an audio trailer that we take to a lot of our outdoor facilities, and we have a couple of indoor systems too. And we're able to actually take those audio trailers straight to their sites and set those up and show them the difference between the sound systems that they're hearing right now in their stadiums and a point source sound system like Daktronix offers. They're often really amazed at the difference in the quality of a speech only system to one of our full range sound systems.
And let me add that our installed system, our existing sports sounds, whether it's a 2000, 1500 or the 500, these folks play at the various stadiums. They compete, they travel, they attend games, events at these various stadiums where they have installs, and they take note, especially if they're looking down the road to replace their sound system or a new construction situation, they're building a new stadium or field, they listen. And if it's impressive, they'll ask you, hey, did y'all do the sound over at, say, Allen? Did y'all do the sound at Waco or wherever, McKinney? And when you say yes, they say, that's kind of what we want. That's what we want.
Nice.
You know, so we, our stuff sells itself a lot of times by just customers during their day-to-day athletic games and events. They see and hear those things. And they see that video product, the scoring, or the, in this case, the audio systems basically sell themselves when they're there. I have a lot of customers that'll go, or even these small districts like Whitney or China Spring and Vernon, they'll call and say, hey, did you do the sound? I heard y'all did the sound over, say, at Whitney. And I'll say, we did. And they said, well, we'd like to, that'll be fine for our stadium. And then we start talking about it, you know. But that's, our stuff sells itself. You know, if it's installed correctly, it's got quality sound, and You know, it's, that's a big seller for us is our installed systems. And we have a bunch in Texas across the state, believe it or not.
So, yeah.
We have over 250 different video installations. And that's what becomes a very important part of it, because with the video, you know, the audio becomes very critical in the stadium. And there's kind of a couple of things that I've learned. When audio is done properly, it's just kind of in the background. People really don't, they notice it, but they don't notice it. But everybody notices bad audio. You know, we've all been to a football game where, you know, during halftime, when the drill team comes on the field or somebody like that, and the cheer director goes up there and cranks up the audio, and, you know, it's at full level, full gain, and it blows the speakers out. Everybody's covering their ears, you know. Well, you know, we've all been at the stadium where we're doing that, you know, and I've heard that. So those type of things. So as they're putting a nice new video system in, it's very critical that they have an audio system that goes along with it. And, you know, that's what we do at Daktronics, is we offer that video solution along with the audio solution. So they're combined together and they work very well together.
Okay. Yeah. And I wanted to go back to something Scott said. He said that they do hear what happens at other venues and then they call and ask. Do you find that your customers are talking to each other as much, or is it really they hear something at one place and then they come to us and look for that solution?
Oh, there's no doubt they talk to each other. Our primary customers, say in Texas in general, are the athletic directors. The whether it's in a small school or a large school, it's the central administrator, you know, athletic administrator, and they do. They have regional meetings. They have state conferences and things like that. It's a fraternity. They discuss and talk about equipment, whether it's turf, lighting, and scoring and video and audio. It's a network. So, you know, that's why you've got to be consistent in your sales approach and your knowledge, and because they talk. Yes, they do talk.
And it's one of those things, too. You went back to something Scott said, so now I'm going to go back to something Mike said. When you said people really know when there's bad audio, right? And it's in my mind, I think about previous experiences that I've had at events and everything, and there's something about music sounding good, right? There's that part of it. But then there's also for clarity's sake, right? So any PA readings, that whether it's for safety messages or promotional messages, I mean, that's very important too, right? If you're a sponsor of that school and part of your sponsorship package is a PA read and the audience doesn't hear it, are you really getting your value out of it, right?
Absolutely. That's very critical. It's very critical to the sponsors, because they're paying, you know, to get their coverage in the stadium. And if you're running a video up there and you don't hear the audio that goes along with it, that's you're not getting their full benefit of their sponsorship.
Yep. Right. Right. And you also mentioned that maybe a cheerleader comes and cranks the dial and might blow it out. And you've heard that type of thing before. I'm curious, do you have a lot of people operating the audio system? Do they have production people just set up to run the audio for the shows?
I'll let me take a stab at that real quick, and then I'll let Mike answer, because he's seen it all as well.
Okay,
that's very important in the sales process, and once they've purchased the equipment, to make sure they've, you know, who's going to be running it, how many hands are going to be touching it, because we've had to come back and put covers on these systems. And there's no question with a lot of the venues and a lot of the schools, a lot of these stadiums are on campuses, and they, whether it's soccer, drill team, band, football practice, and even games, somebody different running those. It may be the guy that turns on the scoreboard and the lights or whatever, turns on the audio, and he wants to play some music while he's setting up the field. And then you may have during practice, the coaches are coming in, plugging in their phones to the system and adjusting it, and we can't hear it. So there's a lot of manipulation of those systems. So you have to talk about that. Now I've started, gosh, less 7 or 8 years on this audio, is talking about that on the front end. You know, you need to have someone designated. If you want the best results, you know, you need to have someone designated that the fewer, you know, to operate the system, then in fewer hands. So the successful customers I see are the ones that are on Friday night or Thursday night, Saturday night games, varsity, you know, football type in these larger stadiums, even the smaller stadiums. They have a designated sound person or an audio person that'll just monitor it. Of course, a lot of it's preset, but, you know, if it's been manipulated during the week, it might not be where it's supposed to be. So there's a lot of, I want to say, human error or operator errors that can occur that really throw off the system. But yeah, it's each school district or customer's different, so to speak, in their knowledge.
Yeah, like that. That's a point I didn't think of. You can have some of the nicest equipment, right? But if you don't have a designated person or if they're not trained correctly on it, I mean, even though the speakers and everything are really good, you could still find ways to make it sound not good, right, during the game.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I've seen that numerous times. One example down here at Waco area at Midway, it's an older system now, but it's a 1500 installed. Oh, gosh, I don't know what year. Was it 2008 or 9? It's an older system, still there operating today. But the, I mean, when the first fall, the athletic director called me and said, you know, could you come out and listen to this thing? It just not sounds right. And of course, I'm like, no, there's not much audio in here. And this is an empty stadium. You know, a lot of times people test things with an empty stadium, and that, which is not accurate necessarily, because that's not game like. It's not what's going on Friday or Saturday night. But anyway, So we had it come out. Check it, and sure enough, an amp had been blown. So when I had that, you know, you ask the athletic director, well, who's all had access to this? And he's like, well, we had the peewees here, and then we had a play day, elementary play day or something. And we're like, oh, goodness. did they get training? Of course not. You know, so those kind of things can occur on those systems. And then eventually, and then, you know, another thing that occurs with these audio systems, and I think we've done a good job at Daktronix the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, really last, is making sure they're installed properly. And we're running a tech in there behind it, one of our Daktronix technicians, to make sure it's properly installed and properly aimed. I think that's a big thing that I've learned after a couple of these situations on installs. They were installed very high. Where the engineering is not, the cabinet's not designed, or the speakers where they're built at the manufacturing, it's the way they're aimed. Mm-hmm. So they need to be aimed correctly in these individual stadiums to get the proper sound, the quality sound, because sometimes the sound's going out of the stadium. You know, we had two that were installed, one at Wiley ISD, at Abilene Wiley, and another at Midway. I had our audio engineer, John Olson, come in and take a look at them, because we kept, just during a game, you couldn't get above the crowd noise. Now, during the day, you playing music or speaking, outstanding. Oh, wow. But you get the full stadium, you get 12, 14,000 people in there, and the bands are playing. You couldn't hear the announcer. He was muffled. Of course, it was not great, because that's what they kept thinking. But there was something else going on. You know, you get down into the bowl, you couldn't hear. You get up in the press box, walk out on the photo deck, and it sounded good. Well, it was aimed improperly. So when I got an engineer from Daktronix down to take a look at several stadiums, we went there, turned the system on, and he gets his meet. They have the equipment, and he's got the experience and expertise, which I don't have. Mike's got a lot of expertise in audio. But he immediately said, first off, it's installed too high, and have the speakers been aimed properly? And I'm like,
maybe, yeah.
So once all the sound was going where? Out of the stadium. It was above, it was high. Does that make sense? Because the speaker cabinet was feet off the ground. Well, yep. It was pretty high. So, you know, once we got it, you know, they got inside it and they're on rocker plates. What do they call it? Like a rocking chair. They tilt them down. They get it aimed where it hits the back of the far end zone. Man, it's great sound all of a sudden. You know, we can hear it. So those kind of things, personally, I've started bringing John Olson, Dean Dodge, those folks in on the front end to recommend the best solution, you know, with a site survey and talk through, you know, here's what they're looking for. This is the stadium, you know, and get their recommendation. They're the experts, you know, a lot of times. So if that all makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Daktronix does have several standard audio systems that we build. We've kind of named a few of them here: SportsSound 500, SportsSound 1500, SportsSound 2000. Those are, you know, pre-packaged, pre-designed systems. We also go to a full custom design too, but on most of our stadiums, these pre-engineered speaker systems fit the venues. But But then again, once you get those in the venues, it's properly adjusting, setting them. Then, of course, one of the most important things is the proper training of personnel running it. Because, again, if it's not set properly, it's like driving your car. Your car has brakes on it, you know, but if you don't apply the brakes, you're going to run into the car behind you, you know. So you've got to know how to operate the system properly to make it sound its best. And with our systems, our pre-engineered racks, our system monitoring, self-contained systems, it's a lot easier for us to be able to help the customer maintain those systems, install those systems, and get the pure quality sound that they want out of those systems.
Yeah, and hearing about, you know, the standard and custom, and Justin always likes when I do this, but it brings me back to an intern trip I had, because that was about 13, a little over 13 years ago. I was an intern at Daktronics and had to do a sound demo trip from here in Brookings out to New York City and back. It was about two and a half weeks of demos about every day almost with different smaller colleges. We had high schools. We had all them doing it. And I remember thinking, like, yeah, we have this and we're just going to go out and do it. But they made us go through a lot of training at the time, right? Because that's when I started to learn the difference, like we talked about already, of how do you have the right settings when you're doing the demo? Because the demo is also very important, because you got to make sure that me as an intern doing this gets a lot of training. So when the customer hears it, it's as it's intended, right? So we'd go out there and do that. And then it was the difference between speaking. We'd have to bring a microphone to test to make sure people could figure out where to stand when I was talking so they could hear it good. And there was just, I'm not having a specific point here, Justin, I know you're looking at me, but it was just, this is taking me back to kind of the audio demo trip that I did out there when I was an intern.
I think what you were doing there was highlighting the importance of training for the demo and for the people in the stadium. Yeah. It's important to know how these things work to make them sound good.
Yeah, that sounded a lot better than what I just said in a lot less words.
I tend to do that for you.
But I've had, especially on a recent indoor installation here in North Texas, we put in a great system, and one of the things that made me chuckle and really kind of laugh was one of the assistant athletic directors came up to me and said, "Mike, you know, the sound system is just too loud," you know, and I kind of said, like, "Really? I'm okay. So, I mean, you can't understand what the announcer's saying?" No. I can hear what the announcer's saying. You know, it's clear. And when the music's playing, I can hear the thump of the bass and the crash of the hi-hat cymbal and all that kind of stuff. But it's just too loud. And I said, "Well, that's one of the easiest things in the world. You just reach over to the knob over there and turn it down a little bit." You know, the problem is when you don't have that voice intelligibility, you can't understand what he's saying, and everything else is muddled, you know, and people go in there, they turn up their gains, they turn up their volume, thinking that's going to overcome it. And all it does is adds more noise into the system. And that's what we don't want. You know, we want clear, concise sound and music. And that's what we have with many of our systems, and with a proper installation and training, you get that from every Daktronics product.
So you guys mentioned earlier a few of these installations, and you mentioned them throughout this. Have you actually been to some of these recent installations and heard some of the games going on and heard the audio during those games? I'm talking maybe it was last year, you know, recently, and seen some of the fan reaction or heard some of the school reaction to those?
Sure. We always follow up and go to the after the installation. It's been probably more than one game, two games there. Yeah, after each year, we travel around and visit these sites, see our equipment in action, listen to the customer. Are we meeting their expectations? You bet.
Yeah, come football season, every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, you know, Scott and I are probably on the road, you know, going to all these different games. Of course, it's nice when you like football and you get to watch some great games here too, but a lot of it is it's part of the job too. It's making sure that they are using it properly, making sure that it is performing as it's supposed to be performing, and making sure that you know, the next customer down the road, when they go to that facility, like, you know, like Scott said before, I want a system just like that system right there. So we spend a lot of time out there in the field following up with the customers to make sure they're getting exactly what they expected.
And that's a very important part, right? There's working with a customer to help find a solution that's right for them. and then make sure it gets installed right. But then even you're talking about it's after that, it's not, we installed it, ran away, not going to see them again. Thanks right. for your money. We're done. You're actually going to the customer's events, engage with them, and still helping out to see if anything else could be, I'll say, like tweaked, but you're definitely following up after the installation to see how everything's performing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Critical.
I was curious, what have been some of those reactions from the fans and from the schools that you've done those installations at? I mean, I know you're following up to make sure everything is working as intended, but have you heard any feedback directly from them?
Oh, multiple times in stadiums. I especially when we're replacing an older system and coming in with a new system, you know, I've had, you know, fans, coaches, superintendents, you know, board members come to me and tell me that, yeah, you know, this is the first time I've ever been able to understand exactly what the announcer's saying on the plays. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great source of accomplishment for me and a great source of pride for me whenever we can do that. And again, it's from everybody, from the people sitting in the stands to the superintendents and the board members up in the press box as well, telling us that. So that's always a great bonus of the job.
I would add just an example of that. I'm working in West Texas now, and Abilene, Texas is part of my territory now, so I work out that way. But Jim Hassett had sold a system to them, a 1500 video, you know, big 40 foot wide system back in 2008 or 9, 2 years now. But we've sold them a new DVX, you know, 15 millimeter with the nice front end set, you know, the whole down thing, but they're still using their same 1500. And so when I was out there, I want to say 2 years now, but I went out to a game, and the superintendent and I've got to be pretty good friends, a guy named Joey Light. He said, "Scott, come up to the press box with me. I want you to listen to our sound system." And when I was down on the field, I didn't really notice it. Once the game started, I was like, I went out on the video deck and they can't hear it. He said, "Well, let's go into the announcer's booth and let's listen to the PA guy." So I watched him a little bit and he was okay. Should have been fine. Then the official, you know, there was a penalty. The official went over to use the referee mic, and you could tell he had not been trained because he didn't face the press box. Oh, goodness. I said, who gives the referee mic, you know, to the referee and sets that up? And has he been told how to use it? I said, because he doesn't face the press box. He's just looking back at the huddle. You know, he's not doing what, you know, standard procedure. He said, "Well, it's the first year we've used it." Well, this was in 2018. And I said, "Y'all have had this system since 2009. He said, "Yeah, the referees didn't want to use it." He said, "But now we're going to use it." And I'm like, "Really?" I said, "Well, first off, look up here." I said, "First, it could be a problem right up here." So I looked up above the PA where they had the fin antennas for the referee mic, and they weren't even turned properly. They were turned out. So I got a chair and got up there and turned those. So that another example of being on site. But I tried to attack the sound system. So I went out into the stands and asked people, "Can you hear what the announcer's saying?" And I asked five or six people in various areas of the stadium, went down on the field, and did the same thing. I could hear it best down on the field where the players were. Well, that's not who needs to hear it. All the people in the stands were like, "You know, I hadn't been able to hear." That was the most common thing. "No, really can't tell what he's saying." The announcer, several people just said, "Really? It's been that way for years, you know?" I said, okay. So I went back and reported to Mr. Light, superintendent, about what I was finding. Is there something wrong with your system? Whether it's an amplifier's burn up or it's aimed improperly, we're going to get this figured out. I visited with a referee at halftime and coached him up on how to face and he had the little belt pack and he had the antenna behind him, and that didn't help. You know, coached him up on how to wear it, where to face, that type of stuff. Told him there are antennas that's picking up that wireless signal, and that antenna's got to have a clear line of sight. So we made that adjustment at halftime, and once I turned the fins, the antennas in the press box, correct direction, they had perfect referee audio after that. So I was happy about that. And then after that, I got a hold of John Olson, and then we got service involved, and we got a tech out there, and we got their system was aimed improperly, and they had one amp out because they'd been kept turning it up, keep it thinking that was going to correct the issue, but it was aimed improperly. So we got that down into the state, you know, where it was supposed to be. And they had missed a beat, and the superintendent just couldn't be more happy. And I've heard from others that they talk to him when they go to do their stadiums, and he just can't say enough good things about Daktronics and how we take care of our customers.
Nice, nice. That's a nice story that kind of highlights how you follow up to make sure that systems are actually being used correctly and how they're supposed to be.
We all do that in Texas, whether it's Mike, Joe, or Jarrell, and our Don and Ron and Pete and those guys. I mean, it's very competitive, and you've got to stay with them, and you got to make sure they're happy and they're saying good things about them, because they do talk across the state.
Right, right. And I want to know, what do you guys think is the best part about working on projects like this? I mean, you talked about some customer interaction. Maybe it's seeing the final product and hearing it and how it turns out. But what's the best part to each of you? And we'll start with Mike on this one.
Again, you know, one of my greatest satisfactions of the job is, you know, it's nice when you sell a nice system, you get it installed and get it operational. But it's for me, it's the student involvement. It's having the students and the teachers that are teaching the classes well, using the system to its fullest potential. And, you know, I have seen games where the video production and the audio production, you know, Fox, ESPN, anybody else cannot do a better job than some of these students are doing. And that's one of my greatest, you know, sources of satisfaction when I get out there and I see some young students and I see the fire in them when they're actually doing it. And, you know, come in after a game and they're all doing their post game, you know, talk with a director, and you just see the smile on each one of the students' faces, and the guys and girls that are running the systems are just doing an amazing job. So that's one of my greatest sources of satisfaction, you know, after I sell the project.
Oh, I'll totally echo that, what Mike said. As a former educator, you know, most of my career, my life, coming from an education family, both parents were in it. That's the ultimate satisfaction is when you go to an athletic event or a game, so to say, and you see the end product, they're very successful, you know, and they've got, like you said, kids involved, you know, they've taken that craft, they've learned, they're good at it, and they take that what I call a craft, that knowledge, and they take it from the classroom into the control room, and then they were able to display that, say, on the video board scoring, and they put on a heck of a show. And like Mike said, the smiling in the faces, you got a teacher standing there or an administrator, someone overseeing that, and you can see the commitment from the school district from the top. It's got to come from the top, from the superintendent down through the different levels of administration on into the teachers, into the classroom. You see that level of commitment to provide the resources for these kids to be successful. And then they have a successful show. And that's the joy in it, is seeing the end, an end product where the folks there, the customers are proud. You know, they're proud of what they're doing and they take pride in that. I think that's the joy, the fulfillment for me as well.
All right. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on and sharing some information with us about your audio sales and what you guys are doing down in Texas and how that all plays out with you guys in the schools and bringing the audio systems to life for them. So thanks for joining us, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Daktronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.